Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
So I want to know if the campus bigotry changes hiring practices. I'm curious. I would like to hear from the CEOs. I want to know if what you see on the campus at NYU, where they're now fighting police, Columbia, what you see at University of Michigan, which has now started, or Northwestern, where the dean of students is in showing up at these pro-Hamas rallies. I want to know if this changes how you hire. Does this change how you look at universities? Does it change where you might open a business? So, for example, now this could be true in any state, but Purdue University, which is heading towards the northwest of Indiana, they do an extremely good job in the world of engineering and the space. And there are people who want to open up businesses, factories, all sorts of things that are able to then utilize that talent pool. That makes perfect sense to me. Makes perfect sense. Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. 833-468-8669. 833. Got Tony. That's how you get to be a part of the show. And I just put it out on X. Hey, CEOs, does the college campus bigotry change your hiring practices? I understand why somebody would be want near Purdue and why Purdue would want this. Now, full disclosure, I don't make any money from Purdue, but I will be sending my money to Purdue as I have a child who's going to go to Purdue. So I do like to be fully transparent there. I understand that this is good for them when you get a logistics company or you get a semiconductor company or something like that. We're going to invest billions of dollars. But take a look at all the places that would hire from a Columbia or an NYU. Specifically, we talk about law. And we've seen all of these bigots come out of these schools because that's all that comes out of these schools. Except, you see, that's like going too broad because I'm sure there are some decent people who come out of these places and just deal with the madness. They just thought they could get an education there and it'll look better on a resume there. Remember, until Claudine Gay showed us that it's okay to be guilty of plagiarism as long as you're black. What? That isn't exactly what Harvard said? If you're black, you can be guilty of plagiarism of the worst amount of intellectual dishonesty. And it's all right. We'll give you a pass. You still keep your job, even if we have to change the title a little bit, and we'll still pay you $900,000 a year. This happening while she, as the president of the university, fired people for this same thing, and then excoriated black professors for clearly not being black enough in her eyes. But before that, even I discussed with my oldest the idea of Harvard. Yes, it's going to be nutty and we can avoid all that. But if you have a degree from Harvard, honestly, it's write your ticket. Well, we dodged a bullet. Because now it's very obvious that what Harvard is putting out isn't worth anything. As a matter of fact, it's a poison. I assume it's a poison for a business. So now the question is, with everything that you're seeing, CEOs, hiring managers, I want to know if it changes anything for you. Now I'm asking you to call in, 833-GOT-TONY. That's, you know, I'm asking an impossible lift right there, right, guys? You know I'm asking an impossible lift. What CEO is going to call in and say this and make their business a target? Well, this is exactly the place that I think everybody needs to be. We don't do this anymore. We don't hire from those places anymore. We look very carefully at what's going on these campuses, and we avoid those campuses for our selection purposes. If 50 Fortune 50 companies said this, my gosh, if 50 Fortune 500 companies said this, everything could change. What it is that the campuses put up with will change, the colleges put up with. Now, some of them will have to, of course, be conflicted by the fact that they really believe that it's good to scream, we support Hamas. It's good to keep Jews off the campus. It's good to intimidate them. And, of course, you want to build up all your commie bona fides so you can burn it all down. Let's remember who they are. Let's remember what we're dealing with, what we're seeing. Let us remember what is happening. But if 50 Fortune 500 companies said we will never, ever hire from these places again, it would change. And isn't that exactly what we want? So the same thing that is keeping them from speaking out, which is being targeted, is exactly the thing they should do. So now the campuses know exactly what's going to happen to them. And students can make more informed choices on where it is to go to school because some schools guarantee them no jobs. And some schools guarantee them many jobs. And those schools can now act accordingly, knowing that if your job is to prepare students for a workforce, that maybe you have to act responsibly and not be, I believe in the Latin, is known as a schmuck. The president of Columbia hasn't figured out how to bring in all of the help possible to get rid of these encampments, which, by the way, are not spontaneous. They're not spontaneous. These are well-planned, well-organized. Everybody, you know, they create these tent cities, right, on the campus. Everybody's got a tent. Tent city, tent, 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 tent. They're all the same tent. They're all the same tent. How is that? How is it possible that they're all the same tent? Well, they're all the same tent because someone said, I need to order 50 tents, please. And they said, well, we've got this green one. And they said, perfect, I'll take 50. Someone is funding this. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. And the president of Columbia can't figure out, after the police come in and tear it all out and these people put it all back again, she can't figure out how to get control of the university? She can't figure out how to make a stand? The students can. There's an organization at Columbia and Barnard, B-A-R-N-A-R-D. It's professors calling to censure the school's president over her handling of the pro-Palestine student protests. So the censure is going to condemn the president, Manoush Shafiq, last name is Shafiq, S-H-A-F-I-K. They're condemning her for asking the NY Police Department, the New York City Police Department, to remove and arrest students. Wait, you're not upset with her for doing nothing. You're upset with her for doing something because you, the administration, you, the professors, support the idea of students threatening other students because of their religion. You, the administration, you, the professors, support students telling Jewish students they can't walk through the campus, telling other professors, Jewish professors, they can't teach. You're the CEO of a company. It's really hard for you to say out loud, we're not hiring from Columbia. Screw those people. They suck. That's tough. How is that tough? How is the writing just not on the wall? What else could be done for you? What more could Colombia do to get you to say, all right, maybe not? Can I ask what it would take for a CEO in today's America of a Fortune 500 company to actually be repulsed to a place of action? Robert Kraft, he's the owner of the New England Patriots, who has given millions to Colombia, said, no more, we're done here. Until there's real change. There's never going to be real change, Mr. Kraft. The linens at the massage parlor you went to were changed more than the change at Columbia University. That joke's a little bit off color, and I'd like to apologize for it now. So if you're looking for an apology, I'm more than happy to give it. Clearly, even I realized I've gone a bit too far with that one. But you can't say we don't hire from Columbia? The New England Patriots organization will not hire anybody from Columbia. Such and such a law firm will not hire anybody from Columbia. It is clear that the professors have not prepared these students for decency, never mind the real world. I would think this is the easiest thing to say in the world. You see, you're going to get targeted. But look who you're getting targeted by. Jew-hating, commie-loving bigots. We really have to spend our time worrying about Jew-hating, commie-loving bigots? That's... Forget that.
F these people.
Say so. So I want to hear from you, CEOs. I want to know if things change in your hiring practices when you see these things happen. I want to know if they don't, why they don't. 833-GOT-TONY, 833-468-8669. Keep it here. This is Tony Katz today. So the Supreme Court, I mean, they've been hearing a lot of cases, and certainly we're getting ready. They're going to hear about Trump's bid for criminal immunity. That's coming up. I thought it was yesterday. I apologize for that. That's on Thursday. Tony Katz today. What's going on, everybody? 833-468-8669. 833-GOT-TONY. That is the number. That's how you get to be a part of the show. But one of the cases they did hear was about homelessness. It's really interesting because I was reading about, you know, in the Wall Street Journal some of this, and I was reading a little bit at SCOTUS blog, and it seemed to me that they had a difference of opinion about the conversation about homelessness. So the case comes out of Oregon. And in this town in Oregon, they have legislation that goes back to, I think, was it 2003 or 2013, that states that you cannot utilize a blanket, a pillow, or a cardboard box for protection from the elements if you're sleeping within the city limits. Can't be done. The argument is that you don't want to encourage this type of behavior. The argument against is that it is a violation of the Eighth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. If you create legislation that targets a specific action done by a specific group of people because of a specific economic issue, are you indeed inflicting cruel and unusual punishment? Now, take the humanity part out of this and thoughts about homelessness. That is a fascinating legal conversation. What exactly What exactly is the place here? The city could then argue, wait a second, we have a responsibility to the town, to the city, to the municipality in terms of safety and security. We also have a responsibility, as we see it, to ensure the value of the town, which helps us establish and further codify the safety and stability. Well, what do you mean by value? If you have a lot of homeless people, property values go down and their houses aren't worth as much. The value is worth less. The land is worth less. And therefore, we have an issue with growing our city. That's an interesting argument. Very interesting argument. What I think is more interesting about this town is that they're called Grants Pass. They have just about 40,000 people in the city. And they have as many as 600 people experiencing homelessness on any one night. I thought that was an outrageous number. Now, I could be totally wrong. I could be completely off base and someone could show me data that no, this is the standard. So 40,000 people, 600 people is more than 1%. 600 people homeless. I don't know. That number seemed like a massive jump. That seemed rather large. Now, I do think that we should be asking ourselves exactly what leads to these homeless issues. And you understand that a financial downturn happens in some cases. But those are the people that you are most able to get out of the situation. The issue is drug-related. The issue is mental illness. Every time I see one of these stories, and this is not within what the Supreme Court is discussing, this is me discussing it, I come to the place that it's very clear that emptying the asylums was a bad idea. There are some people who are just not meant for the society as a whole. Tony Katz, are you saying that we should just throw these people into asylums and not look at them and hide them away from society? No. I am saying that some people simply can't do it. I don't usually talk like that. I am not making the argument that the system has to change. You can throw all the quote-unquote communism you want at this. These things aren't going to change. But in the communism, they'll all get killed. I'm not suggesting that kind of radicalness. My God. What do I look like, a Columbia student? Get over yourself. They need to be housed and they need to be helped, and I think we as a society should do this. I do. But they cannot function in the same society that we do. They are not capable, and some of them don't want it at all. There is story after story of people who this is how they choose to live. For whatever it is that has, you could argue, cracked in them or changed in them or is in them, this is what they want. And then there are some people who have no other way. You could set them up with a home and a this and a that. They wouldn't know what to do with it. They cannot do it. So what exactly are we doing except spinning our wheels? We as a society have to recognize some people can't. As for the idea of the penalties, can a city engage penalties on the homeless? Can you give a fine? Can you create legislation to stop it from happening? The New York Times says that the Supreme Court seems poised to uphold the local bans on homeless encampments. The Wall Street Journal kind of played in that way. SCOTUS blog didn't. They seem to say that the court was split. That decision will come out in the summer. And I think it's going to be one of the bigger decisions made by the court, because this is going to have a real, real effect at every local level. It doesn't matter if you live, if some people live in the big city, or they live in a suburb of the city. Every place is going to have its own thought. Different mayors, different city councils. So is this going to play via political lines, or is this going to play via economic lines, or this? Really reaches the granular of where we live. That'll come out this summer, the decision. This is Tony Katz today. I don't know why it is that seemingly a host of countries want to get into a fight with Elon Musk. It was Brazil, right? And Brazil's taking on, or Musk is taking on what's going on there with free speech. And you've got Brazil investigating him over fake news and obstruction. Okay, sure. Sure, whatever you say, Brazil. Tony Katz, Tony Katz today. Good to be with you. Musk engaged in a disinformation campaign regarding actions from the court. And that simply cannot happen. Remember, this isn't the United States. This is Brazil. And different nations have different rules. And certainly don't have a view of free speech or freedom as a whole as we do. They just don't own it. Not in the slightest. So it's, you know, the judge saying the flagrant conduct of obstruction of Brazilian justice, incitement of crime, the public threat of disobedience of court orders, and future lack of cooperation from the platform are facts that disrespect the sovereignty of Brazil. You mean not doing what you want done? It's a pretty involved story. But then there's this out of Australia. And I don't even understand what's going on here, that you have this Australian senator who is just infuriated with Elon Musk, Jackie Lambie, who's now calling for a boycott because Australian politicians are now into a fight with Elon Musk. They're trying to get him to remove video footage of a terror attack in Australia. Are we talking about the stabbing? Is that what we're talking about? Yeah, it wasn't a gun. It was a knife. Six people were killed. This was at a shopping center near Bondi Beach. So that's in Sydney. And so I guess there was some video and it was allowed out on X. And they were like, how dare you? And Elon Musk is like, I'm going to do what I do. So there was this conversation that took place on their local TV via Sky News. And they're talking about homelessness. They're talking about a bunch of things. And then it gets into Elon Musk. Now, I checked this, producer Jason. I don't think there are any bad words, but since it's Australia, finger on the dump button, shall you? Nicely done. Let me see if I can get this for you.
Right now, the people are, as Jackie pointed out, struggling to pay their rent and keep a roof over their heads. Jackie touched on one thing when it comes to the negative gearing change. Are you also suggesting the capital gains tax should be kept to those buying new properties? Is that your argument?
Well, I don't really care about their capital gains tax, but it was part of their conversation, as I said, as they were having this whole thing about taxes, and certainly it's a conversation about how some of these senators see the people, right? Remember, it doesn't often change. You'll see a lot of similarities in the political left around the globe that they believe that the money belongs to them. But it was this.
Before you go, I do want to ask you about one of your fellow senators posting that video out of Wakely, the alleged attack, and Elon Musk really showing contempt for the government and its approach on this issue. What's your take on the tech billionaire?
So when it comes to the tech billionaire, like I've already said, I think he's a social media knob with no social conscience. He has absolutely no social conscience. Someone like that should be in jail and the key be thrown away.
Wait a second. It's one thing to call him a social media knob. All right, that's kind of fun. That's kind of fun. He should be thrown in jail and the key thrown away? Oh, tell me more.
That bloke should not have a right to be out there on his own ideology platform and creating hatred, showing all this stuff out there to our kids and doing all the rest. I'm very interested to watch what the US is going to do with TikTok and how far that they can do. We're trying to get rid of that platform as well. So I think we're all watching on the United States at the moment to see what they're doing. But seriously, if we can move, and if that means in the next sitting that we can shut him down from doing this, because this is
just disgraceful. Keep the platform out.
I don't give a stuff about the platform. I'm happy to go off the platform today, to be honest with you. I already have a list of all you journalists. I don't even know why we're on the platform. But I say this to everybody else. I'll be switching off X today. I'll be doing that before I get to the airport this afternoon. And I suggest that the other 226, there's 227 members of parliament do the same thing and show them that you mean business. Because when you want to lead by example, it has to happen from here. It has to happen from here. So start switching off X. Start throwing it back at him. But we've got to start from here.
Nobody told you you have to be on the platform. You're more than welcome to get off the platform. But let's start with something. The issue with TikTok is that the ownership is the Communist Chinese Party looking to take down your nation. The issue you have with Elon Musk is that he thinks people can share information on the platform. And you think the sharing of information is what's going to tear down a nation. Rational people know that the manipulation of data and the stealing of data can be hurtful. And TikTok has proven this. To argue that somehow there's a relationship between TikTok and Twitter, or I should say Musk in specific, is to give very, very little credence to the danger that is the Communist Chinese Party, and to overindulge on the danger that is Elon Musk saying that other people can share content. These things are not apples and apples. They are apples and the thing that are furthest from apples, which oddly enough is not oranges. I think apples and oranges share much more in common than apples and, let's say, bricks. But not the red bricks, like the brown ones. You see houses, you're like, why would they use a brown brick? Doesn't even make any sense. Just me? Okay. You are mad at the guy. But plenty of people utilize the platform for a whole host of things. Well, Tony, isn't it true that people use TikTok for a whole host of things? The data, what is served to them, the manipulation thereof comes from a communist regime that wants to destroy. Well, what about Elon Musk? Is he a guy who wants to destroy? My data is not being manipulated. It was under Jack Dorsey. That was a guy looking to destroy. Can we please not think that Jack Dorsey was a good guy or let him off the hook? He allowed Twitter, his company, to be this bloated mess. He allowed it to have all these layers of bureaucracy. He never kept the inmates in line. Elon came in and fired 80% of the staff, and the thing still works. And we should be clear, I don't agree with Elon on everything. He could be wrong. He could be wrong about a great number of things. But on the very concept of letting people engage, he's in favor of it. So this is not in any way a rational conversation regarding TikTok. The only way to make it so is to believe that TikTok and Twitter are owned by the same type of entity. And this just isn't the way it is. I mean, it's not. So why would we ever make the claim? But she goes a step further. Never mind we should get rid of it. Never mind she's not going to be on it. And I believe that she has indeed done this and dropped off the platform. We'll see. We'll wait till she comes back with something to say and it'll be on the platform. People will be like, aha. She thinks he should be locked up and the key thrown away. Now, that could be seen as just a statement of somebody who's angry or frustrated. Of course, that could be the case. But when it is said by an official, it carries a different weight to it. And this is exactly the problem that we see in Australia, This is exactly the problem that we see in Canada, where the citizenry, certainly in New Zealand, the citizenry is not heard from. The citizenry is directed, told what it is that's good for them, what it is they must do. Can any nation have been more horrific in the lockdowns of COVID? And it's not possible. Then New Zealand? No. Then Australia? Physically accosting people and arresting people for being outdoors? Arresting people for being outdoors, and she thinks that Elon Musk should be locked away. There's a difference. A very large difference. Now, as for what happens with TikTok, I don't know. Some people have argued that even though the forcing the sale of TikTok is in this legislation that will pass this funding for Ukraine, that it won't pass a constitutional muster, that it will be like, sorry, you can't force this sale. It's interesting that the DOJ has times where they prevent sales all the time. Kroger and Albertsons, they've been trying to merge. And it's the DOJ that said no. Well, I should say you can argue it was the regulators, the Federal Trade Commission, which sued to block the merger between Albertsons and Kroger because the lack of competition is going to lead to higher grocery prices and lower wages for workers. I have absolutely no idea if that's true. The FTC also says that the plan, right, they're like, okay, we want to merge. You won't let us merge. We will sell 413 stores to another group called CNS Wholesale Grocers. The FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, says, nope, that's not a good enough group. It'll be ill-equipped to compete with a combined Kroger and Albertsons. Sorry, we won't let you buy, and you're not allowed to sell. To buy, right? We're going to keep you from this every which way. We have madness that goes on here. And the argument is, well, it's going to help increase competition. I love how they recognize that competition is a good thing and then make moves on a government level to eliminate competition and picking winners and losers. Like, for example, telling every car manufacturer, you better be all electric because we are going to ban combustion engines. We're just going to work our way towards it. Never mind, that's the definition of fascism right there. It's weird to see them do two things at the same time like that. And that's in our own country. Don't be on Twitter. You want to pass legislation to regulate Twitter? I mean, it's your country. You can do what you want. You have a much different view of free speech and freedom in general than we do. And let me say, your view of it stinks. It is. It's awful. It's terrible. Lock them up and throw away the key. You should never be elected to anything again. Lock him up and throw away the key because you don't like what he says? Because he allows a video to be shared? You could think it wrong. You could think it deplorable. Lock him up and throw away the key. All right, Australia. That's pretty messed up. I'm Tony Katz. New products from Apple. Coming May 7th, possibility of new iPads being released. Tony Katz today. Yeah, I'm not an iPad guy. I just have no, it doesn't work for how I work. I need a laptop. I absolutely do. And I am an Apple guy. And I have the amount of people who tell me, yeah, you absolutely want a Google phone. It's so much easier to work. I'm like, how is it easier? Don't get me wrong. There are things in my iPhone I don't know how to do because I just don't do these things all the time. And I have to look it up. And, you know, eventually there's a YouTube video that says, hey, clearly you are not Gen Z. Here's how you work your iPhone. They've done everything but call me old man and ask me if I need a glass of prune juice. But I never, like how is it easier? I'm curious. And also, you know, there's a story about how the iPhone is losing market share in China because what they're doing with Huawei is growing. Huawei, of course, is a technology company that wants to dominate 5G, the Internet of Things, the protocols that 5G utilizes. Again, the Chinese wanting data and wanting to be able to control access. It's what it is. I'm only curious if Apple, which is losing market share in China, realizes they're going to lose the battle in China. You got to move the manufacturing. Well, Tony, a lot of people have left China's manufacturing and they're going to need the money. So maybe they can get concessions from China. Maybe there's a long play here that gives Apple a lot of upside and a lot of strength. And maybe China changes. Well, it's a risk. It is a risk because we've seen how countries that don't grow seem to just implode upon themselves with more desires for control. 19% down in the marketplace in China? Maybe you should at least be 9% of your product more built somewhere else. I'm Tony Katz.